100 Word Stories. Good morning, everybody. This is the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Simply put, take 100 words, cram them together, read them out, stick it to tape, and mail it to me. How could it be any simpler? A bunch of y'all said, I can do that, and this is the collection of that stuff. There you go. No need for a big wind-up, a wacky diatribe. It's all just there, and you're going to hear it all. All of it. Okay, maybe you listen to a little bit now, a little bit tomorrow, while you're in the bathroom, while you're driving, while you're flying to some exotic location. Whatever you do. I hope you enjoy these. First one up, Mick from Some Other Scotland. What? There's another Scotland? Yes, there is. And Mick Bordet would like to tell you about it. Tell us a story.
100 Word Stories. Blame. Set in the world of Some Other Scotland. By Mick Bordet. It's all my fault, said Tanya. If I hadn't introduced her to our world, she would never have been in this danger now. At least you didn't accidentally kill a few hundred people, decimating the lives of their families and friends, throwing a city into blind panic, Razor replied. Or lead thousands into a massacre that would forever change the way of life for a whole country, Bonnie Prince Charlie added. Thanks for the lesson in humility, gentlemen. Really, perfect timing. You are most welcome, said Charles, smiling. I think that might have been sarcasm, Razor whispered in his ear.
Thank you, Mick. And you can check out Mick's stuff. The link is up there in the show notes at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Links to all the people who participated and... remember to send me a link. If the link isn't there, and you're like, hey, where's my link? Just toss me a note with the link in it. And next time when you send in a story, send me the link. The link. Or it could be a sausage link. I mean, you know, sausage. Okay, I've got my coffee. I got my Bailey's in it. What am I going to do next? Well, Sing is early this week. That's right. The Madam and the Yogi. You're up for it? I am too. This is like a walk through Candyland where the candy is words. Sing, tell us a story.
Foreign Madam and the White Yogi. A verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh. In this week's installment, Margot, feeling embarrassed by Mrs. Barhai and ignored by Yogi and the circle of men, reacts badly. Now the ball is in Yogi's court. He was shocked. Embarrassment sat up. Heads turned to see the face of sharp demand. Yogi had never heard this tone from Margot. Fewer words had been her works and days. Taking on a young man with no prospects or place, they'd worn such blame as came from mother, siblings, in-laws and Pierre. Well, paltry adulation made him snub his angel and instead chose to grandstand alpha anger in front of followers. Why was she doing this? Attention-getting? Looking good demanded he do something. His feet unhooked themselves and landed hard with disapproval on the sheet-clad floor. I'm really sorry, Bahai. I have to go. We will meet again, he said. And I will sing any time you want, eyeballing Margot. Bahai joined his prayer hands, turning to her. Madam, we are sorry for giving you problem. Perhaps my wife said something to disrespect? I will be firm, very. You please forgive us. It isn't her fault, Bahai, Madam said. Today was unplanned. I just have school tomorrow. Of course, we are too selfish, said the host. Trahan, you must be driving them back at once. No need, she said with curtness. We'll go by bus. Smoking dupe and bananas hit nostrils, passing a fruit cart. She stopped to cross where the bus would pull up belching diesel. But he restrained her elbow. Careful. The traffic, the place is crazy. She shrugged him off, jackrabbiting in a zigzag, dodging an auto rickshaw. The mechanical parrot screeched off as if to tell a tale. He galloped after. Wait up! What's your problem? The appointed bus was coming like a prophet with believers. Some debauched and stumbled. She climbed. He followed. He spoke up. She ignored. Then silence defined their faith all the way back to the village. When they had reached, a bony cow was feeding on Margot's marigolds that she and school kids had set in a row before her hut. She hunted it with a culm of cane. Now Yogi joined, but still Margot was mad, whacking a rump back down the road until a farmer yelled to leave his property. She tried to tell him off in broken Hindi, gesticulating with hot and bothered tone, making no impact, pointing to the chewing flower thief with guilty orange tongue. Still the farmer would not kowtow to women, an ironic mark of acceptance. Yes, she was becoming local. Frustrated, Yogi dumped his guitar inside and headed for the river. His quiet spot past the potter turning mud to cups and a man pulling donkey overloaded with bright fabrics. Yogi left at the fork and walked to find his cool embankment where the water lapped. On reaching, he disrobed to cotton drawers and waded, letting water cool his frazzled nerves, and then got out to sunbake on the bank. He was disturbed. Bahai had shown respect and Margot slighted, and he had thrown his weight, but now felt bad. It was their first fight at the peak of summer. He thought she would be glad with his guitar and how they sang together, him the leader. If she had come to teach, what could he do? Was he just some drone bee here to service Marigold Madam? He saw no way ahead and reached into his cotton shoulder bag for the Bhagavad Gita cards, then shuffled and drew. My devotees live in me, all surrendered to me, satisfied and joyful, telling the world about me. It made him think of Krishna and the gopis, those milkmaids, each a petal of his flower. It was clearly confirmation, or so he thought.
Thank you, Singh. And I gotta tell you, there was this thing that went out, the Avatar Choice Awards, and I don't think I saw Singh's name on there, and yet he's one of the master storytellers on the grid. Way better than me, man. I mean, if you can be all this fawning praise, and I'm like, no, dude, look at this dude. This is a master crafter. God, what the hell are you throwing stuff at me for? I demanded that my name be taken off that because, one, I didn't ask to be a part of this. Two, it's like a horse race. It's not even a horse race. All these people with all this talent and all these things, and they're being paraded around like whores in a picture book in a Thai cat house. And they're being forced to compete against each other, beg for attention from their fans, annoy their fans to go on this click fest. Who knows what spyware is on this site? And it's all supposedly for Relay for Life, because that excuses usurping the right to a person's name and forcing them to compete. So I used to do polls in the weekly challenges, and I stopped because I would rather it be about people enjoying. And if it shouldn't be about it should be go here to hear some really cool stories. And I try to make it easy for folks to share the links and stuff. You know, hey, you know, check out their stuff here. Check out this one. This was a good one. I challenge you to share this episode, but with the intent of, hey, this other person wrote a good story too. Not just yours. Man, I'm sharing these to y'all, whatever. And maybe slip mine in for last. So that you have to listen to everybody else's first. That's my attitude on this. Polls, marketing, begging for clicks. What does that have to do with the craft? I don't know. I'm just... Some folks are... The one that really has me confused is this Karina Hoisan, who says, oh, I'm so touched and surprised that I was nominated, but I don't really care about it, yet provides a link to it. I went all the way. I said, get my goddamn name off of there. You know, if you don't want to be involved, don't be involved. Don't go halfway. You sound like a hypocrite or a fraud. So either dive wholeheartedly into it and annoy your fans with begging and horse racing and I'm better than everybody else attitude, or you don't need competition, cooperation, working together. Do something cool together. What do you think? Well, let's find out what Muncie thinks now that I've rambled and raged. Muncie, tell us the story.
Greetings, Mechabats. Muncie here with my contribution to the weekly challenge. Here on the podcast in which we read our 100-word stories and celebrate the deaths of relatively innocuous minor celebrities. This week's prompt is blame. And while I'm not sure who this week's B-list public figure will be, I have no doubt Lawrence will have fascinating things to say regarding how they deserved to die, and how stupid their friends' fans and family are for allowing them even a moment of basic human empathy in their time of passing. Let's do this thing! The Blame Game by Christopher Monroe. Admittedly, mistakes were made. And yes, I'm aware that people were hurt. Some have said it was my negligence that caused the incident, but this is neither the time nor the place to play the blame game. Or is it? You know, now that I think about it, after the things I've done, maybe a bit of mudslinging would be the perfect distraction from the actual problems at hand. Okay, the blame game it shall be. Your fault, Bobor fault, banana fana fofor fault. Me, my, momor fault. Your fault. Wait, that's the name game. Which one's the blame game? Broken Escalator out there in the world if you want it. Flash Fiction Blog at christophermonroe.blogspot.com. And tweets at Munzee Munzee. Hope you've enjoyed my story, Mechabats. And talk to you all next week.
And about that Nelson Mandela jerk. Sorry. Thank you, Muncie. Okay, so I may have ranted a bit on Nelson this week on Audio Boo, but just, okay, so Reagan, 86, starts research and awareness of AIDS. No, he didn't say the name, but everybody else did, and it was obvious. So at least he said it. Mandela said nothing. When he was president of South Africa, his successor, Thabo Mbeki, swept under the rug. His own son was dying from the disease, and he found it shameful until he could deny it any longer. So when Ronald Reagan is more compassionate than you on a subject, until you're forced to turn around, Really? So, yes, yay for freedom, boo, freedom to spread a disease. I mean, look at Magic Johnson and Jim J. Bullock. These guys are going to live forever. Retrovirals, eating healthy, exercise. You know what? These two should play a one-on-one basketball game. I'd pay to see that. And what the hell was my point? I don't know. Maggie sent in some stories. Didn't record them. The text is up on the feed. You can see it there. Read them. They're good. These are good ones. And this isn't just me saying good for the sake of good. I went over them every day, thinking, man, how did she piece that together? Wow. So, one thing that I do from the stories that you send in, I learn from them. I try to deconstruct them and see, wait, how did you do that? Oh, crap. Where's this? Oh, you cut that word out. And it's amazing trying to reverse engineer some of these. So, and mixed stuff, you know, snippets of conversation from a greater whole, yet they stand alone. So it's really cool. Let's continue with Jeffrey's stories. Now that I've given everyone a serious bootlicking. So here's Jeffrey.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher here once again. And this week I'll try not to have helicopters flying overhead while recording this. It's an unavoidable hazard of the location, I'm afraid. Well, Lawrence, please don't count words too closely. I firmly believe that anything that can be plausibly rounded to 100 is in the ballpark. So I'll try to stick with that. And with that, my first story is called The Blame Game. The federal government closed for over 2 weeks when Congress could not agree on short-term funding. The sticking point was House Republicans' insistence on a one-year delay in the individual mandate provision of Obamacare. Thus, the press referred to this as a Republican shutdown. During the shutdown, the deficiencies in healthcare.gov became obvious to everyone, including the press, which mysteriously lacked curiosity about the details of Obamacare for nearly 4 years. Some Democrats called for a delay in the individual mandate, and the president unilaterally allowed insurance companies to provide noncompliant plans for another year. The net result is that the government closed for 2 weeks in order to allow Democrats to agree with Republicans a month later. Well done. And for something a little less political, but possibly echoing a rant from last week, is a story called Furiously Fast. Paul leaned on his walker. "I'm not trying to blame the kid who served the coffee," he said to the lawyer. "Well, that's good," the lawyer replied, "because the kid has no money." Paul continued, "But it seems to me it's irresponsible for a company to serve hot coffee when it knows the top can come off when I'm driving, causing me to wreck my car. I'm owed compensation." "Of course you are, sir, and I'm owed a third of that. As I said before, though, you were clocked at 96 when your car went off the road. Crazy as it seems, a jury might think that played a role in the accident." "Well, sure. That's when the coffee lid popped open, just as the car crashed the guardrail and flipped over."
Thank you, Jeffrey. And I want to say, if there's helicopters or noises or party noises or music going on outside, incorporate that into your experience. Don't make it a negative. Don't hate your surroundings, your environment. Make it a part of it. Assume it into yourself. Don't hate the game. Roll with it. And don't hate the player. Enjoy the thrill of the dice. That one moment where maybe, yeah, you're going to roll a 7. But probably not. Who's next? John Musico. Music is in his name. How amazing is that? If music is in his blood, well, maybe we can get him some dialysis. Here's John.
"I Always Love Myself Again" by Dawn, by John Musico. "I must always forgive myself. If I can't, then I rationalize till I fool myself into forgiveness. When that doesn't work, I blame others, even if falsely. The computer in 2001 Space Odyssey named Hal was like me. Self-harm can never be in the equation. Everybody else does the same thing. So think of it. While you're busy becoming innocent, others are painting you at blame to achieve their same aim of innocence. I wake up in the morning, once again cleansed of my sins, again pure. I pass by others on the street, bearing the same smug look.
Ah, that smug look. I've perfected mine over the years. Would you like a picture? Not happening. I post photos of cats. Thank you, John Musico. Hey, do we want to make the topic smug one week? How's that? I'm looking at the topics here that are coming up. They're coming down the road. Let me just bring up the list here. Got my coffee here. Probably should get a better headset. Maybe Santa will bring me one. Maybe Santa will take a dump in my wallet. We've got Spy, Anything But Christmas, Coast, Horn, Lemon, Hash, Account, Church, Soon, Coward, Run, Again, Private. Notice how it's all one word. Keeps it simple. But do we need some that are concepts? Like this one was written in the dark. This one was written while standing on my head. This one was written in a coffee shop. We used to do those. Or the... I don't think people really like the pick twos. I don't know. Did you not? How do you feel about that? And I miss the ones that were with the single frame stories. But Batgirl and Whiskey have been busy with other things. So, I miss them. I miss them. But that's okay. Maybe they'll be back. Maybe they won't. Things begin and things end. And you have to accept that. No, you don't. What I will accept is that coming up next, we have two stories by Julie. Not just one, two. And these are painful stories. These are ripped from the heart by cardiac surgeons who are good at ripping things from the heart. Not the peritoneal cavity. No, straight from the heart.
Hey everyone, it's Julie. Welcome to another 100-word story. I don't know how many weeks I've been doing this now, but anyway, the topic is blame, and it's not a story. It ends up turning into a poem half the time, but I guess that's because I'm a poet, so I'm not apologizing. This one's called Blame. Don't blame me. You could have planted a house or built a tree. Don't blame me. Just put me in my space. Vandalism, it's as beautiful as a dirty rock in a cop's face. I don't care. I'm afraid. Polly wants her cracker. Polly's off her rocker. Damn your cock in my face, keeping me in my place. I don't mind. Get away, get away. Come back, come back. I will always take the blame. I will always keep the peace. I will always be the same very girl, the one who would chew off her right arm before leaving. Shameless plug, www.musepalace.wordpress.com. Thanks, crap. Thanks, you guys. Love you and see y'all next week. Bye.
Thank you, Julie. And I'm going to have something about thank you in a moment. But here's your other story. It pertains to that stupid Avatar Awards thing. I know dead horses beating them, blah.
Well, I didn't think I'd be back, but I've been following... Oh, it's Julie again. I really need to turn social media off. Here's another blame story. And this is actually a 100-word story. Blame. Who is to blame for the typhoon that hit the Philippines? Fundamentalists would say it's an act of God. Nihilists would say it was inevitable. Existentialists would gaze at their navels and cast blame at the fundamentalists and nihilists. Who is to blame when a B-movie actor hits a foam pall and dies in a fireball and becomes a social media phenom? Well, he was to start. He was driving too fucking fast. I reach in my handbag and hand you my CoverGirl compact. Turn the mirror out and then turn it back at yourself if it applies. That's a cold read. I'm already getting hate spam, and they're saying, oh, his friend was dying, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? The two of them were in a $300,000 car, and they were driving too fast. I don't care who was at the wheel. Take that $300,000, send it to the Philippines. You know what? Send it to Relay for Life. I'm done ranting. But I'll still say I love you, and it's Julie signing out. Bye.
You see, it's the love. Muncie, you and Julie should have a discussion about this. Maybe you will create Fast and Furious 7, where just everybody wrecks and dies. Hey, man, put on your seatbelt. Oh, I don't need one. We're just going to get groceries from Dubai. Drop us out of the plane, man. You know, who knows what will happen? Oh, thanks, Julie. And I want to say something about thank you. You don't need awards or podcasts. I've demanded to be removed from all kinds of nominations and all that stuff. I don't want to be a part of that shit. There have been, like, clickies and tweeties and this and that, and I've mocked them, and I've campaigned for others so that I would lose. The reason is I don't believe that clicking means squat. And even if it's a click that you put your name on means squat, what matters is express what that person's work, their art, their efforts, what they mean to you directly. The internet is the great levelizer. Everyone who is on there at some point has an email address or one that an assistant can delete all the noise from. But you can send something. You can craft your sentiments into a brief but powerful note and thank that person for the influence they have had on what you do, on what you think, on what you feel, good or bad. Thank you for making me question my thoughts on celebrity and compassion, Muncie. You see, that's all it takes. And that wasn't some flip or sarcastic remark. I've had my doubts about last week's show. I thought, did I go too far? Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I didn't go far enough. Maybe I wasn't fast or furious enough. But you need to thank people directly. Don't go into polls and awards and country music. You will be just as shallow and vapid as the Emmys, the Oscars, the whatever the hell they call the country music awards, the rednecks, the Jesus lovers. I don't know. But all these awards mean nothing if no one takes you aside and genuinely tells you themselves. A statue cannot talk. Yes, it's the concatenation, the collaboration, the collection of all those sentiments into a hunk of metal. Instead, while you have the chance, tell someone who has had an influence, who has had an impact, who has had a positive role, when you were ready to give up and they said, don't give up, tell them. And I've been trying to do that myself. And some have been just flow. And some are very hard. And you have to dig deep to make it genuine. And I do one or two of these a day. And some people are like, hey, where's mine? And I'm like, I'm not ready to face those feelings yet. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try. And when I say thank you for being a part of the weekly challenge at the end of each show, I mean it. For some people, it's a hold your nose and be a part of it kind of thing, because of some of the comments that I make. and you just want to write and just, oh, I wish you would just shut up. Well, sometimes I do too. That's why I've asked. But I just can't. Man, I've been on a ramble again. You know what? How about I just play Tora's story? And we'll get back to this subject.
A man went to steal from a warehouse. He climbed up and pried open a loose skylight, but fell in and broke his leg. He blamed the warehouse owner for negligence and demanded compensation for loss of earnings as a thief. The warehouse owner blamed the manufacturer of the skylight, who blamed the workman who had fitted it. The workman blamed a woman passing by whose beauty had distracted him from his work. The woman blamed the sexist culture of capitalism. So the thief received a pension from the state, and if he's not dead, he's living on it still.
Thank you, Tora. And, oh, I need to go collect my next check because I slipped on some ice earlier today. Don't you just love it? Who's the victim in this society? Me, of course, with people driving 300... No, I'm not going to know that. I've beaten that dead horse to atoms. Speaking of thank you, so... I listened to Bernard Drax, a.k.a. Draxter Daper. Okay, so people are like, how do you really feel about this guy? Are you positive on him? Are you with everyone out there, it is a mixed bag. I'm sure that there are people like, well, you know, he's an asshole, but he writes good. Well, in this case, his participation in meta-reality, he was a giggling, lefty bomb-throwing nitwit. It's all Bush's fault, you know, and contributing really very little to the conversation each week. Maybe something on, well, my son, Khalil, we're doing cool things. Okay, that's cool. And showing, but it rarely had anything to do with the topic at hand. However, the Drax Files has been showing some really cool examples of folks that are doing cool things. They're starting to feel like advertisements for what they do. But he's trying to edit them into a showcase and letting the people speak, as opposed to his long rambling crap. The problem is with the new Jo Yardley thing that he's doing, or Yo as he calls her, I think, or so the Germans would have us believe. He's going to give himself more time to say the rambly, stupid political crap that has nothing to do with SL, which he falls in the same trap as that Catherine Brockovy whack job. And occasionally, if I get off on a roll, I will too. So, if you don't give yourself enough time to be a whack job, you're going to be fine. Hence, 100 words. Now, the fact that I've been doing these for over 8 years, every now and then I will slip in a whack job 100-worder. And every now and then y'all will too. And that's okay. I can just say thank you and move on. And then grip my teeth later. So, I hope that he learns from the mistakes of others where don't have the same guess over and over, don't have an echo chamber, do invite others in with their experiences, which he has been doing. He learned. Let them speak in their own words. Don't interrupt. Say very little that's tangential, non-sequitur. That was the word I was looking for, non-sequitur. Don't make it a non-sequitur cast. You want to rant and ramble on chat cast, fine, but don't call it SL. So, I think I'm gonna leave my mind open to it, and the Drax Files has been pretty open. When he did the fluffy stuff, yeah, you know he went too long when he was starting to do the political rambly ranty stuff. You know, it's like, really? Do you have to drag that into here? Most of us do this stuff to escape from it. Most of us do this writing and podcast stuff to find a way of expressing, but expressing in an artistic way. But when the scope is limited and you're trying to stick to a subject and you start to get off tangent, off topic, non sequitur, just like I've done now, then you got to rope it back in and say, Richard, you got any stories?
Good morning. I hope you're well. I'm not too bad. Now, before I start, the vexed question of word counts. I don't trust word count software. It lies frequently. So I count all my 100-word stories manually. Backwards, from the end to the beginning, because I found that helps with proofreading too. Give it a go. It's fun. First story this week is a George story. It's called Blame. The view from the river was unsettling. The glow of fire and smoke columns hung over the city. The river was clogged with rubbish being washed downstream. "Are we somehow to blame for all this?" asked Emily. It was a question that George kept coming back to frequently. Had humanity reached some sort of tipping point? Was all this devastation the result of some terrible breakdown of society? Who knew? He only hoped that someone out there had the answers and was doing something to fix things. With a crunch, the boat drifted into the bank. Time to move on. My next story is called Who's to Blame? Back in the war, it was gremlins who grounded the planes and shorted the electrics. Then, thanks to propaganda, everything became the fault of the Germans. We blamed the Russians during the Cold War. Then it was the government's fault, or the youth of today. We even blamed the economy as if it was nothing to do with us. There's always someone else to blame, but I can't help wondering if we're the ones who really are at fault. It was a wise person who told me, when you point a finger, there's always three pointing right back at you. And my last story is called School of Hard Knocks. It was always me who got the blame in school, mainly because I was a bit of a nerd, an ideal target for bullies and pranksters. I can't say I enjoyed school as a result. But I was determined to do well, and whilst those around me fooled about, I studied. Now, thanks to my hard work, I'm incredibly successful and filthy rich. But I still eat at fast food joints. It gives me a chance to gloat over my ex-schoolmates flipping burgers for the minimum wage. Well, they had their chance in school. They've only got themselves to blame. And that's it for this week. Speak to you all next week. Goodbye.
Ah, that minimum wage. Thank you, Richard. You know what? They ought to be earning a living wage. I'm sorry, I'm just laughing. You know who really wants them to earn and demand a high wage? The manufacturers of robots. Because nothing says challenge to a robot maker and designer than people doing menial tasks trying to price themselves out of the market. Welcome to Burger World. This is Burger World. This is what we've created. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it great? Isn't it beautiful? We have meteors and escaped king cobras tweeting, "Isn't that your idea of heaven?" That's my idea of heaven. We're already here, and we didn't even have to die to see it. Tom, you up to bat? You know, Julie, the person that would know how many stories you've written is Tom. Or you can just do a search at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com for Julie, and then see how many weekly challenges your name comes up in. You'll have to be careful. I think, was there a Julie of Lemon and Lemon Drops or something? Love and Gumdrops? But you'll figure it out. I used to keep track. Then I realized, oh, someone else is doing it. I'll just let him. Although if I ever piss off Tom, who knows? Who knows who old monkeys be? Now I have to kiss his butt.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I've got updates. Story average 18.33, story total 5,990. Movement. Both Explorer and Julie enter the top 90, one story behind Whiskey Day. Spade is one story shy from entering the top 60, just behind Guard 13007. Sing is a mere two stories behind Planet Z. Your humble scribe has posted 207 stories and is now shadowing Zachman. But the real news this week is Lizzie has completed her 100th story, becoming the third female author to gain Golden Monkey status. All hail Lizzie. And once again, I have four stories for you this evening. The first, Taking Stock. Rudy wanted to blame his current financial problems on the downturn in the economy. Frank pointed out 1,000 shares in Amalgamated Buggy Whips was not exactly the foundation for building a retirement portfolio. It did well for grandfather, returned Rudy. Your grandfather has been dead for 100 years. And this, General Dynamic Sealing Wax? Wait, Patterson Celluloid Clothing Corporation? A style long due for a comeback. Yeah, right up there with whalebone corsets. Rudy waved a stock certificate with an engraving of two women who, for all appearances, had to be missing their lower ribs. Frank shook his head. Story 2, blame. Benny said, I guess there's plenty of blame to go around. Everyone agreed and took an extra helping when the platter made it around the room. Timmy from accounting said, this year's blame was much superior to last year's blame. Jack from sales thought, an increase in the amount of basting gave the blame a melt-in-your-mouth consistency. Laura from shipping asked, is there any self-loathing left? Bill shook his head. Sorry, Fred from marketing got the last bull. We do have some megalomaniacal misogyny left. Mary asked for a doggy bag of blame to take home. Story 3, Bad Movies. Never has so much talent, resources, and money been wasted on a movie. Some say Heaven's Gate or Waterworld are the high watermarks of motion picture disasters. If you are old enough to remember Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton and Cleopatra, it is arguably the dog of its generation. My top contender for truly bad filmmaking is Blame It on the Bellboy, starring Dudley Moore, Brian Brown, Richard Griffiths, and Andre Casillas. This turkey is just 78 minutes of French farce. It's the only movie I actually asked for my money back. Oddly, the manager agreed with me. And the last story, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 26. I wouldn't blame you if you reconsidered your offer of employment, Dr. Proctor, said the widow. No, Mrs. Parsons, I believe you and your entourage are, forgive the context, just what the doctor ordered. The work at hand is going to need a fair amount of expertise, and you have actually saved me a lot of time and money. Oh, please put that down in the ledger under the heading Sweetwater Project. The doc looked at Timmy for the longest time and wondered if the web of connection he had set in motion was strong enough to hold them together.
Tom, I don't think you would dismiss whalebone corsets if you saw someone wearing one. I'm just saying. Hotness. Thank you, Tom, and congratulations to Lizzie. I've just updated the page. Now, how's that for megalomaniacal? Now that I've completely embarrassed myself, how about I just throw it to Serendipity and lick my wounds? No, wait, that's not wounded. Oh, well, but it's fun anyway.
Don't blame me. I'm not the guilty one. You can't blame me for you happening to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. It wasn't my choice, it was yours. And you really shouldn't blame me for the medic's slow response and the drugs that didn't work to bring you back. It wasn't me who silenced you with the fatal cut. It wasn't me that caused your lifeblood to drain from your body. You can't blame me for the fatal wound. Blame the knife that pierced your flesh. If anything, I'm completely innocent. Totally blameless, in fact.
I believe you. You're totally blameless. Thank you, Serendipity. So, I did something stupid last week. Well, okay. At least one. I forgot to hit schedule on all the stories during the week. So, there were no stories during... Then I had to publish them all at once. And they all appeared. nobody pointed out to me that they weren't up there. And it felt just, wow. So the only traffic that's going to this site are spiders and bots. Oh, and spam bots. But those are bots. So if you think that you're getting high traffic or high volume or lots of reads, I see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hits when I bother to go into the server. And it's like every one of the weekly challenges gets like 500, 600 downloads. On Stitcher, there are like over 300 people that have this on their playlist, although how many of those are bots and how many of those are people that added it and then still listen to Miley Cyrus twerking, I don't know. But nobody pointed out that this hadn't updated. Wow. Oh, I remember the days in podcasting where it would be like, oh no, where's your story for today? Or, where's the... Well, actually, people just listen for the weekly challenge. There used to be folks who were like, I can't go grocery shopping without it. And it's like, really? I mean, don't you have Miley Cyrus? So, Avatar Choice Award? Yeah, it's those things that really put things into perspective. Those hit you hard, let you know that, knock knock, reality's here. Speaking of reality, how about some Zach Man?
I'm calling this Why Zach Bought His First Cell Phone. Zach opens the door to a ringing telephone. Where are you? Says a panicked voice. Why are you not here? He replies, what on earth are you talking about? Your irresponsibility, not meeting me, on your way home in my work parking lot to pick up your children since I work early today, she scolds. What? You know, like I told you last night. I am so sorry, dearest. The only way I could be more sorry is if you had remembered to tell me about this yesterday. She concedes, you're right. But come now, and tomorrow, you're buying a cell phone.
As long as she doesn't turn it off when you break your arm, that's perfectly fine. Oh, thank you, Zach Man. Just, I'm never going to let that go. How many of y'all have played The Fool's Errand, or 3 in 3? Look those up. It's like some, let me get the name of the guy. Hold on. And it's by... No, he doesn't have a name. No, hold on. Where the hell is he? No. Where's the name? Cliff Johnson. Oh, man. Cool stuff. Seriously cool stuff. And then the sequel, The Fool and His Money. The sequel. It's just so neat. So, 10 years in the making. The Fool and His Money is ready. So... The dude likes making puzzle stuff, but I'm telling you, play The Fool's Errand first, then play 3 in 3, and then that. I know I'm late to the game, sorry, but that game was such an influence on me. You should have seen my grades. Yeah. Oh, speaking of grades, paper's down. Time for Dr. Fran.
Hello, crap. It's your fault I'm doing this. Blame. They told me, when you are pointing a finger at someone, there are 3 fingers pointing back at you. So, I exercised my right hand rigorously for about a year until I could point my index finger at you and my other fingers went in different directions, but never back at me. Now I am sure you know whose fault it is and that you will be mighty sorry you did that to me. And I'm sure you will change, and treat me better, and maybe even love me again. The splint will come off in about 6 months. That's it. Oh, and by the way, crap, thanks.
You see how easy it is to do? You see Just reach out and thank the person. Reach deep into your heart and express your sentiments. And thank you, Dr. Fran. You see how it's done? So, I'm looking at the rankings here. Michigan State beat Ohio State, showed that they were a paper tiger all along, that they were romping through a weak Big Ten. Duh. I think Wisconsin was way overranked as well. So we're looking down the list, and it's going to wind up being Auburn and Florida State. And congratulations to those two. I think Auburn's going to win. It's just like up from behind, and they're going to be toilet papering the whole damn town. Rice beat Marshall. We are Marshall. We lose. They went down in a tailspin. I know, bad taste. So congratulations to all the future sufferers of concussions, severe headaches, neurological disease, paralysis, and self-inflicted gunshot wounds so that you can donate your brains for further research to prove the obvious: football causes severe brain damage, not only among the players, but also the fans. But hey, aren't higher learning institutions about making brains smarter and better? Instead, I believe you need to widen the scope and just say that colleges impact brains, whether for the good or for the bad. But hey, it brings in money, right? That gets spent on academics? Research? Keep telling yourself that. Keep telling yourself that. And people wonder why education is so good in Finland and South Korea. They don't have this shit to distract them. For them, school is about learning. What a weird concept. Man, this has been a rant-filled, hate-filled show. I hope I don't run out of hate and rant. Instead, I need to take a breath. How about I hand things over to Spate?
Hey, this is Spate. My story this week is called Our Last Argument. And here it is. Cutting words have dissolved into silence, punctuated by labored breaths, both of us growing weaker. Our broken bodies, trapped in an overturned car at the bottom of this forsaken embankment, waiting for someone, anyone, to intercede. No one has come. Her eyes still accuse. I trusted you. How could you let this happen? You brought us to this twisted mess, and now you expect me to drink piss to survive a little longer? I roll my eyes, fighting against all blame. What the hell can I do? This is not my fault. It's an accident. Shouldn't have listened. Fucking GPS.
Thank you, Spate. No more ranting or raving. I have no idea what to do at this point. I'm all ranting and raved out. Okay, so syringe pens with counter display. They have some in all blue, some in all red. It would be fun to get some company logos and then put them on there. And then say, like, cPanel is the cure for all your web hosting needs. That could be fun. See if we can convince them to do that. Or not. I like the multicolored ones. I may buy a bunch of those and just start handing them out. Not that there are many people I hand them out, but still. Is this thing still on? Okay. Lizzie, who is a brand new golden monkey, congratulations. Take your bow.
Blame it on the water, said the dying man from his hospital bed all alone. Everyone else had died, even the nurses and the doctors. The communication channel wasn't working properly because there was no one to adjust it. Can you hear us? Asked Control back on Earth. The man couldn't, but he kept on talking until the very end. The water had been contaminated during the unscheduled visit of an alien peace envoy. They'd have their peace. A human peace envoy would take them the most precious treasure, water. Even aliens needed water. And they drank it. The fools. This was my story for this week. Check out my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com. And talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. And yes, I'm well aware of the fact that I'm a hypocrite for saying, Drax, don't get off on a tangent or go non sequitur when the scope of the project is talking about something and then you're talking about something else. And yet, I go off on rants and rambles during these weekly challenges. I really ought to just tighten it up. How many months, how many years have I been saying that? Some of you I've driven away because of that, and others I've brought closer. Closer. Maybe a little too close. No, back away a bit. Okay, that's better. You know who can't be too close? Cliff. I can't quit you, Cliff. I can't quit you. Here is his story. I hope you enjoy.
Good morning. Crap, you had asked what kind of recording setup we were all using, so I thought I'd tell you today. Mine is a Zoom H1 audio recorder. Basically, it's the lowest end recorder that Zoom makes, and I do all my editing on Audacity. Here's a couple of stories with the prompt of blame, and if you don't like them, well, you have to figure out a way to deal with it yourself. I don't have a story for you, and I'll tell you why. It's Santa's fault. Not the real Santa. I hear that guy's awesome. No, I'm talking about the guy on the corner by the drugstore. There he stood, ringing a bell and begging for spare change for charity. Charity must have been his old lady's name, because I watched him pocket the bills from the kettle. I called the Salvation Army, but they had no record of anyone working that corner, so I confronted the guy. I wouldn't have suspected it, but Santa packs a mean right hook. So after I woke up, I decided to write another story, and here it is. Dear Susan, I know you blame me for our relationship ending as it did, but I really feel you are being unfair. After all, when I proposed, you were the one who said I needed to take more responsibility and advance in my career. Although we never spoke directly about it, I cannot help but feel that you knew I was involved in organized crime. Advancing in the organization means getting your hands dirty. When management gives an order, it's my job to follow it. It's hardly my fault that the witness turned out to be your mother. Love, Harry.
That's the spirit. Thank you, Cliff. And a Zoom audio recorder. I've thought about a recorder like that. I had one a long time ago, but it just didn't do it for me. Although, I've also tried those transcribers. Oh, God. Siri doesn't understand a word I say. I say, play Pretty in Pink, and Siri says, I don't know what Pretty in Tank is. And I'm like, what does Lori Petty have to do with any of this? Although, man, was she hot. No, Pretty in Pink. It's a great song to just, psychedelic verse, just a great way to. I only have, like, one or two songs that will get me to work. It's a very short drive, and it's a very short drive home, hopefully, if I don't go by and pick something up on the way home, like Subway. They were really nice at Subway, too. Although I do need to go to Good Company Taqueria and get a burger there that's mesquite and well-crafted and enjoy it and compare the cost to the Soylent Clown that's next door. Just to prove that some things are worth it. Although getting out of there is going to be hard. Their parking lot sucks. And then Good Company Seafood. Oh my God, I could go for some gumbo. I just need to heal up a little bit. Yeah, I need to go to the store and get some yogurt. You know. So, more? We got Norval Joe? Okay, how about Norval Joe? We're almost done here. Suffer along a little more, please.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 398 with the prompt of blame. So here's my story. The President of the United States leaned back in his chair, removed his glasses, and tapped the earpiece against his front teeth. Mikhail Kirtlepot of the Compostation Republic sat up straight and glared at the American. One by one, he popped the knuckles of his right hand. Cora Huda of the Caribbean island Panales Mojados threw up her hands. Gentlemen, we cannot point the finger of blame at any one country. The population of the earth is safely away, and it is only we three left behind. But how can we finish this joke in only 100 words? Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
I believe you can finish that joke in 100 words. In fact, I believe it's the challenge for everyone on the side next week to come up with their own ending and not involve Flypaper Boy. Or have Flypaper Boy run in and say, I've come up with a solution. Wash your hands. Right. Maybe I should just wrap things up here and just hand it off to Planet Z before I say anything more that's stupid. So, here he is.
In the cartoons and comics and movies, Superman can beat anybody. He's fast, strong, and has heat vision. There's one enemy he could never beat. His name was Blame. He could do anything and then point his finger at someone else, and they take the blame for it in a way that would stick. For years, Superman tried to catch him, but he ended up catching everybody else. Until one day, Blame's finger pointed at him. Superman was led away in kryptonite handcuffs, powerless. Blame got cocky and went up against Batman, who just punched him in the face.
Hey, that's it for today's weekly challenge on 100 Word Stories, the podcast. The podcast there at One A Day Until the Day I Die .com. Not dead yet. So there will be stories tomorrow, the day after that, all week long, if the schedule button actually works. And then we'll be back here next Sunday for stories on the topic of spy. Doo-doo-doo. You can use that sound if you want. And don't songify that song. So that's it for this week. I'll see you all next week. Thank you for being a part of the weekly challenge, whether you wrote, whether you recorded, whether you're just listening, whether you're commenting, whether you're sharing this site, or you just have a song in your heart and you're writing. And if you say, you know what, I'm done with writing little things, I'm going to write big things now. Good. Write. Express yourself. Don't just click. Share a little something of yourself, and you'll get something in return. I'll see y'all next week. And as always, keep it brief.